Krishna, Krishna.
The following is a recording of a question and answer series, Pariprashnena Sevaya, Day 9, given by His Holiness R.P. Bhakti Raghav Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 3rd, 2020, in Hebri, India.
Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki. Welcome to our Pariprashnena Sevaya, where we are receiving, reading various questions that are coming from different devotees. We will begin, as we normally do, with short prayers of invocation, so that this endeavor can be successful and bring all auspiciousness. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Tascha Desha Tarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone may kindly repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha.
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 Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinataranam yat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinataranam Hare Krishna. We will begin by reading from the book entitled Speaking About Varnasrama. I was just looking at what we will be reading today, a little while back. We're just going chapter by chapter, and today happens to be chapter number six. And immediately the title is very appropriate. This is from a morning walk. It's mentioned as Varnasrama walk in Vrindavan on March the 12th, 1974. And the title of this section number six, is Varnasrama to Save a Troubled World. I'm not making this up, as it is presented here in this book speaking about Varnasrama. Very interesting. Some of the themes in this chapter, number one, Every ISKCON center should be a Varnashrama college. Not every ISKCON center should have a Varnashrama college. Every ISKCON center should be a Varnashrama college, number one. Secondly, leadership means to see which man is suited to which work and to engage every resource properly to resolve the very serious problem of unemployment, especially today. Third theme, it is a sign of mismanagement if people are not inspired to work. So importance of having managers manage in such a way that they will inspire our subordinates. And the last theme, Varnashrama management will end unemployment and famine. Again, Varnashrama management will end unemployment and famine. So, Prabhupada begins. The politicians, a business will be to exploit the poor citizens and harassed so much. By one side, no sufficient rain and therefore scarcity of food, and the other side, taxation by the government. In this way, the people will be so much harassed that they give up their home and go to the forest. Careful. Unless they take to Krishna consciousness, they'll not be saved. The Varnashram College has to be established immediately. Everywhere, wherever we have got our center, a Varnashram College should be established to train four divisions, one class Brahmana, one class Kshatriya, one class Vaishya, and one class Shudra. But everyone will be elevated to the spiritual platform by the spiritual activities which we have prescribed. There is no inconvenience, even for the Shudras. Then one devotee is asking, Bhagavan is asking, are Shudras supposed to take sannyas also? Prabhupada, no. Why? Shudras. Those who are Shudras, they should not be allowed to take sannyas. Only those who are qualified Brahmanas, they'll be allowed to take sannyas. Bhagavan, Kshatriya used to take sannyas too? Prabhupada, Kshatriyas, some of them, not all. Gurudas, Yudhishthira Maharaj? Prabhupada, they did not take sannyas, but they left home. There is no need of accepting sannyas. One has to perform the devotional activities. That is real thing. Simply by changing dress, one does not improve. Unless he takes to seriously to the principles of devotional service. But in Kali Yuga, they'll think, because I have changed my dress, I have become a sannyasi. You see, because I have got a sacred thread, now I am a Brahmana. No, in a Varnashrama society, are most of the citizens Shudras? Srila Prabhupada answers, yes, the number of Shudras are always bigger. Just like in university education, the number of graduates, others are bigger in number. Bhagavan. The whole idea is that at the end of everyone's life, everyone is required to leave home, not necessarily take sannyas. Prabhupada answers, devotional activities either he leaves from home or not leaves. That doesn't matter. It means devotional practices, devotional service must continue from the very beginning. For the management of affairs, we require to divide. So those who have very intellectual brain, they should become brahmanas. Those who are fit for management and protection, they should be trained as kshatriya. And those who are fit for producing food, taking care of the cows, they should be trained as vaishya. And the balance, they're all shudras. This is the division. Everywhere you'll find this division, natural. One class of men, very intelligent. One class of men, very strong, good brain for management, administration. One class of men fit for tilling the ground, field, produce food, take care of the cows, and the balance, shudras. That's all. So in our society, this division should be there. The most intelligent class of men, they should be engaged in preaching, reading books and instructing, taking care of deity worship, temple. And another class should be strong managers, that things are going on nicely. Everyone is engaged, not that eating and sleeping. Everyone must be engaged, employed. So in this way, the conversation actually continues on this theme of introducing the basic concepts and practices in relation to Varnashrama Dharma. Tomorrow, will be chapter 7 of the book speaking about Varnashrama. We will go to our questions right now. We did receive a few questions today. Let's see here. So yesterday we answered question 26, which was in relation with the dangers that are there in associating with non-devotees. So we take up from question number 27. This is from Bhakta Surya. Surya Prakash Mehta in Jharkhand. If we really come from Goloka Vrindavan, if we actually come from there, and if we return there, what is the guarantee that we will never come again to the material world? Good question. This has been asked many times, actually, by devotees. And of course, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that once having come in this material world, and experience the suffering and the anguish and the hellish condition, being separated actually from our original identity, from our original occupation, from our original natural loving relationship with Krishna. Once having experienced all of the miseries of this material world, dukkhalayam ashasvatam, we will never again return to the material world. And Srila Prabhupada explains, our acharyas explains, it is something similar to a young child who has not experienced what is fire. Although his parents will tell him, don't put your hand on the fire. Children, being children, sometimes they will listen, sometimes they will not. And of course, those who do not listen and put their hand on the fire, they get burnt. All of us who have come in this material world have been very badly burnt by the threefold miseries of life and by the constant influence of the three modes of material nature. And therefore, in a similar way, having had that very terrible experience, very painful experience, once we finally again become purified and qualified to go back to the spiritual world, promises that we will never again. Theoretically, we could, in that the living entity still maintains his minute independence. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, supremely independent. We are the part and parcel of the Lord, also having the same qualities of the Lord, and therefore also having this independence, quality of independence, but very minute independence. Theoretically, we can misuse this independence as we have, since we find ourselves here in the material world. So therefore, we should have our process is to hear from the Shastra, to hear from the authorities, the acharyas, and when our acharyas and the Shastras explain that once having returned to the spiritual world, we will never again return, then we should accept that and not become unnecessarily mental about this matter. So I hope this helps to understand or clarify this particular question. Here is question number 28, which is from a devotee called Chirag, who's actually from Hibri, but right now he's in the UK. So he's asking a simple question. What is the right word to God? Is it Krishna, K-R-S-N-A, or is it Krishna, K-R-I-S-H-N-A, or both are right? Simple answer. Both are right. It's simply a different way of spelling. Not only is the word Krishna referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if one happens to spend some time in the state of Orissa, having gone to Orissa a number of times, how most people in Orissa, when they refer to Krishna, they say Krishna. So whether it is Krishna, whether it is Krishna spelt with in diacritics, whether it is in whatever way it may be spelled, what is most important is the internal meaning or the intent and the mood or the desire. Krishna is not so much concerned by externals. He is especially wanting to see that our internal feelings are proper and are sincere in wanting to address him, in wanting to glorify him, and wanting to pray to him. So so there's no major difference. When I believe the Krishna book came out, Krishna This is how it was spelled, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I hope this clarifies this point. The following question. This was the second question sent by Radhaduti Devidasi from Pune. And here is the statement followed by the question. It is usually observed that good hospitals are located far away from villages, and sometimes taking whatever facilities are available nearby leads to poor treatment. How is one supposed to deal with medical emergencies in a village community? Is one allowed to keep a car to help travel quickly to a nearby hospital? Actually, Prabhupada explains that when we are in a village, we don't need a car. We also don't need a cell phone. I was a few months ago in Telangana visiting one village, interviewing one of the local leaders. One of the questions on the first page that one needs to fill up, called biodata. So one of the questions is, what is your telephone number? Say, I don't have a telephone. I don't need a telephone. If I want to see somebody or speak to somebody, I just walk to him. I'm in the village. Very down-to-earth, practical person. So traditionally, number of things to take into consideration. When people live a normal life, a regulated life, there were much less emergencies. It's not to say that there were no emergencies. But generally, people's health was much better, and people needed less medical attention. People lived for a longer period, etc. This is a common, we could say, argument that sometimes is given, that let me relocate in the city where I will be close to the drugstore if I need medicine, where I will be close to the police station if I need some protection from the police, and where I will be close to the hospital if I need to, on an emergency, go to the hospital. As devotees, we need to understand that we all have our baggage of karma. And the law of providence is there. Even people who may be in the city, who may even be across from a hospital, may not, because it is part of their karma, may not make it to that hospital. As devotees, be overly concerned about the situation in terms of our, not that we should not be taking proper care of the basic needs of the body. Traditionally, in villages, there were individuals who were knowing about medicine. There were people who were advising in terms of, and we have built up mentality that the more now in many villages, again, that was part of the survey that we were conducting. One of the questions being the development, rural development in your area. And Quite often people would say, we need a hospital. So actually, previously hospitals were extremely rare because there was much less of a need for hospitals. Again, it is not to say that we do not care or that we should be careless about the matters pertaining to our health. In a village, one should, when one is actually living in a village, when one's maintenance is from that village, that's what it means actually to become localized. This topic has been coming up more and more recently. And I know it's not at all easy for the vast majority of people, including the vast majority of our devotees, to understand how can we actually survive in a village. The fact of the matter is, we can survive much better in a village than in a city, you see. Cities being by nature extremely, citing New York, because he was in New York, had personal experience, one cannot even venture out. One cannot even make friendship with one's immediate neighbors very often because people are so, paranoid about people they don't know. In a village, it's very important to understand, just like as devotees, the more we speak about bhakti, the science of bhakti, the science of devotional service, and all of its different facets, and the more we develop an understanding of life, of devotional service, the more we appreciate and feel secure and comfortable performing devotional activities. In a similar way, on the material level, the more we understand the wonderful advantages, that's why Vedic culture has been created in this way, based on agrarian lifestyle, where in a village actually everyone knows everyone. Everyone is very friendly and supportive to one another. Granted, we may not find this situation in modern-day villages because our modern-day villages have been very heavily influenced by urban centers, so much so that some people qualify them as urban villages, isn't it? Yeah. And in visiting villages in the last 1 year, 2 years, I've seen how so many villages don't look like villages anymore. You have all the roads are paved. It's very modernized. You have big buses coming in to pick up children, to take them to school. villages are no longer villages in the true sense. People are going back and forth. Motorcycles are there. Maybe living in villages, but actually their mind is elsewhere. You know, their mind is in the cities. They're being allured by things that are going on in the cities, etc. And so in this way, although they are living in the villages, they're not living the way they should be. We should always remember the ideal example that is there, of course, Vrindavan village. And even if we look at descriptions of villages, some of the Britishers, in terms of how clean villages, how people had such a wonderful character. Alcohol problem actually was introduced by the British. just like tea, also, of tea, and become an becoming addicted. So when if read and follow the good instructions that are given in our Shastra, and when we become nice engaged in devotional activities, when we have sages who are capable of leading, then life are cared for. We don't have to be overly concerned about other animals that may be there. We also should not be overly concerned about health matters, knowing that if we live properly, then Krishna is the one that, as the saying goes, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So we have to develop this conviction that the more we live in keeping with the recommended lifestyle that is given in the Shastra, that is stressed. A car in villages simply continue our false dependence. They are expensive. They pollute the environment as well. And it is not natural. We should gradually learn to adopt the more natural, as it is described actually in the Shastra. We have possibly one or two more questions. This is question number 30 from Anantatir Prabhu in Hyderabad. Can we expect people showing more towards sustainability after this whole crisis is over? And of course, the answer is yes. How long it will last, we don't know, but definitely a number of individuals, a number of devotees within our own ISKCON society, a number of leaders around, and a number of leaders, again, society, will definitely have more thoughts, insights, and see, we need to be completely convinced, as he often reminded us, that modern day civilization is a misdirected civilization. And we're seeing how, you know, practically overnight, the whole world has come to a standstill, practically speaking, with all of these shutdowns. And this is having, we cannot imagine, all kinds of major implications, and bringing about all kinds of inconveniences. Besides the people, in terms of people having to be relocated, in terms of people being stuck somewhere because they could not come back to their original place, in terms of people's salaries being reduced by 20%, 40%, whatever, and in terms of hearing about and seeing these major disruptions on such a massive scale, never experienced by the vast majority. So Srila Prabhupada warned us, other people also warned us. For us, it's important to know that Srila Prabhupada spoke about the kind of instability and danger that we are allowing ourselves to live in when we agree to be part of an unsustainable system. Part of our goal, part of the mandate of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is to reestablish a more natural and simple lifestyle. And this means actually based on these principles, these Vedic principles of Varna and Ashrama. Okay, for the vast majority of people, even for many of our devotees, we have a hard time relating to Varna and Ashramas. I mean, we know what it means, but for us to implement it on the scale that is meant to be implemented, and in terms of how Vedic culture is showing us that this is the ideal way to live, we're still very far from that. As a society, as an ISKCON society. So therefore, those who have some insights, some understanding, some conviction about this whole aspect and dimension of Srila Prabhupada's movement means establishing Varnasrama, means establishing communities based on the concepts and principles of self-sufficiency, sustainability, connected with the land, connected with cows, then we should take this whole event that is ongoing as an opportunity to bring this message home, so to speak. A very appropriate time to have, and I encourage our devotees to have more discussions among themselves, either on the internet, whatever. Some of these sections in Srila Prabhupada's books where there is more emphasis being placed on these topics. There's a small group of devotees for the last, actually in one sense it's recent, in another sense it's been ongoing for quite a few years. I'm talking about this initiative I mentioned yesterday or the day before of establishing an online online courses in regards to Varnasrama. At the beginning of this session, it just happened to be that conversation where Prabhupada was telling we need to establish Varnashram colleges. Actually, as well, Prabhupada's statement was that every ISKCON center should be, not should have, should be a Varnashram college. Varnashram college means a place of learning, an educational center. And what is our Vedic education? Our Vedic education is based on these basic principles of Varna and Ashrama, you see. Our acharyas, beginning with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur up to Srila Prabhupada, I just happened to read some of these statements as I am conducting this research on the science, Vedic science of sociology. Prabhupada says that sociology means the four Varnas and the four Ashramas. It's that simple. Same thing. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the highest form of social organization, the highest and most ideal system for social organization is that system of Varna and Ashramas. I know we are a long way from getting this message across to common people, especially in the Western world. Practically anything outside of India, in Europe, in America, you the word Varna and Ashram, immediately reject the whole idea, thinking that we're trying to impose an unnatural system of caste system, caste division. has always been, contrary to what some people may explain otherwise, Vedic culture has always been, because Vedic culture means Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma means principles of Dharma, which are based on at least on the material level, material platform, on these principles of Varna and Ashrama. So it is much better for all of us, at least who are devotees, to simply surrender to this ideology. Join ISKCON because we understood that we are eternal spirit souls and Sanatan Dharma makes no difference. Canada, somebody from America, from India, we are all, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, a learned person sees everyone as an eternal spirit soul. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just one small reminder. If anyone who is listening wants to know more about what we referred to a little earlier and a few times in the last few days, in the context of Varnashrama College, we are looking and inviting both teachers to become faculty members of this Varnashrama College, as well as students. I have a list of some 30, 35 devotees from different countries who have expertise in different fields. We are in the process, through discussion and groups that we have put together. And therefore, if anyone is interested to know more about this, to be part of this as well, I consider this to be extremely important. It will help all of our devotees, actually, to know how to gradually introduce, implement this request, as we read a little earlier this evening, of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, that ISKCON Center become a Varnashrama College. And a note to our secretariat in Mayapur, and simply you have to write to ISKCON Varnashrama in one word, .com. That's secretariat at ISKCON Varnashrama.